Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from John chapter 6, and our focus this morning is going to be on verse 68. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, you have gathered us to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit work through this word so that our faith is strong in Jesus and that faith overflows in lives of love toward others. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you ask Melissa, she'll tell you something about me. Pastor Ben is a little hard of hearing. Now, what I mean by that is I will say something to her to the effect of, okay, so we need this or we need this. And here's what her response sometimes is. I already told you that. You didn't listen. To which I then say, okay, you're right, and mea culpa, and that kind of thing. That's what hard of hearing is. Someone tells you something, and you don't listen to it. But there is another way of looking at hard of hearing. It means that the words that are spoken to you are so incredible, so outrageous, even though they're true, they're almost unbelievable, and you have a hard time hearing what they are saying to you. So, we are finishing our series, I Am the Bread, in which we have been looking at Jesus' Bread of Life discourse through John chapter 6 here. And at the end of this discourse, at the end of Jesus in his talking with the crowds and with the Jews and with disciples, toward the end of it, Jesus starts saying some really hard sayings here. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am me. I am bread. What? But then he goes on. He piles it on. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What? What are you talking about, Jesus? Oh, he's not done. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Whoa. Hold on there, Jesus. And that's exactly what his own disciples, many of his own disciples are saying. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? This is a hard saying. It's harsh. It's unpleasant. Seriously, Jesus, eat your flesh, drink your blood, or we have no life in us whatsoever? Who can listen to it? Who is able to hear it? Who is able to take you seriously, Jesus? Because what you're saying is so incredible, so outrageous. It's unbelievable. And what is highly ironic about the response of many of his disciples is this. These hard sayings that Jesus is saying to them, they're good news. It's the gospel. It's the very words of life for them and for the world. But many of his disciples are hard of hearing. What about many of his disciples today? What about you and me? Are we hard of hearing? Do we have a hard time hearing the actual words of life that Jesus speaks to you and me. What I mean is this. A number of our church families recently, in recent weeks, have gone through a lot of challenging times, health issues, multiple hospitalizations, surprise surgeries, long recoveries, and a lot of unanswered questions. And I've been in contact with them, and I've been, you know, trying to encourage them, trying to keep their spirits up, keep their chin up. And I've been using what I hope are words of life to them. What I've been saying to them is this: the Lord will care for his child. The Lord will care for his child. And yet, when I've been saying this to them, I often wonder if they have a hard time hearing that. Really? The Lord will care for his child as I'm looking literally at his child lying in a hospital bed, heavily sedated, not knowing what's coming the next day? Really? The Lord will care for his child as once again, here we are in a hospital, in a bed, and it's just unending. Really? That's a hard saying. What about what Jesus says, you know, my flesh and my blood, unless you eat and drink it, you have no life in you. Kind of reminds us of the Lord's Supper, right? That's kind of a hard saying, isn't it? Because what are you receiving in your hand? And you know it, it's bread. And what are you drinking? It's wine. Really? This is the flesh and the blood of our living, crucified, and risen, and ascended Jesus Christ that happened, you know, 2,000 years ago, and now he's really here? I don't know. What about the words that are accompanying it? For the forgiveness of your sins. Great words. But you have a hard time hearing those words of life, because all you can think about is your sin. All you can think about is the ongoing desires, evil desires that you have. How you're guilt-ridden over what you said to someone, and you can't take it back. The things that you've done, that you're ashamed of. Really? Sin is forgiven? Hard time hearing it. How about these words of life that Jesus speaks? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. It'd be a hard time hearing those words when you're in the middle of a pandemic that doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. When your loved one who is giving literally their life for the country that we live in, that life ends because of a terrorist bomb that goes off in an airport halfway around the world. Or struggles spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Really? You're never going to leave me? You're never going to forsake me? It's a hard time hearing it. You see, disciples, you and I, we have a hard time hearing these words of life. Who can accept it? Who can listen to them? And the answer is no one. Not you, not me, on our own. In our own sinfulness, in our own limited, finite perception of things. We hear these wonderful words of life from Jesus, and yet they're a stumbling block. They're foolishness. We cannot believe and trust in them on our own. So last week, Pastor Mark, during his message, mentioned the third article of the Apostles' Creed and Martin Luther's meaning. He talks about, I cannot, you know, come to Jesus or believe in him except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to kind of expand that a little bit, because I ran across these words from Martin Luther's Large Catechism. that I hope will be very encouraging to you. Neither you nor I could ever know anything of Christ or believe in him and take him as our Lord unless these were first offered to us and bestowed on our hearts through the preaching of the gospel by the Holy Spirit. The work is finished and completed. Christ has acquired and won the treasure for us by his sufferings, death, and resurrection, etc. But if the work remained hidden and no one knew of it, it would have been all in vain, all lost. In order that this treasure might not be buried but put to use and enjoyed, God has caused the Word, capitalized, to be published and proclaimed, in which he has given the Holy Spirit to offer and apply to us this treasure of salvation. The Holy Spirit reveals and preaches that Word, capitalized, and by it he illumines and kindles hearts so that they grasp and accept it, cling to it, and persevere in it. So the crowds and the Jews, and yes, even many of Jesus' disciples, are walking away from Jesus because they have a hard time hearing these words of life that he's saying. So he turns to the 12, his own chosen disciples. What about you guys? You out of here too? You hightailing it out of here? And that's when Peter, speaking on behalf of the 12, says this, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." There's two things that we need to know from Peter's words here. And the first thing is this: when it comes to the 12, they are different in one distinct matter. 100% Spirit-wrought faith. The Holy Spirit uses the words of Jesus Christ to make the disciples realize that there is no one else to go to for eternal life. The Holy Spirit makes the 12 believe that he is the bread come from heaven, that his flesh is real food, that his blood is real drink. The Holy Spirit makes them know that he is the Holy One of God set apart to give life to the world. And the second thing builds on that, and in fact is the entire point of Jesus' bread of life discourse here. The 12 do not just look at all the free bread that Jesus is giving out. They don't just look at the signs and wonders that he is doing, like turning water into wine or healing an invalid man. They don't just look at the words that he is speaking. They look at the word behind it. Yeah. They look at Jesus. They look at the word that the Holy Spirit constantly points to, the word that gives his life for the life of the world, crucifying his flesh, shedding his blood at the cross, and rising again on the third day. So, let's revisit some of those words of life that Jesus speaks. The Lord will care for his child. And even as you are looking at his child lying comatose on a hospital bed, behind those words is the Word made flesh, who has already given 100% healing through his death and resurrection and promises, "I will care for this child." Look behind the words that Pastor Mark will be speaking later on. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the true blood of Jesus Christ. And behind those words is Jesus himself. Yes, the one who was crucified, the one who died for our sin, the one who rose again, who ascended and fills all things and is now present. He is present there for you. Your sins are forgiven. And while you may remember your sin, while you may feel guilty and ashamed, it does not do away with this declaration. I died to take away your sin, says Jesus. I rose to leave it behind forever. You may remember your sin, it may haunt you, but I have forgotten it forever. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And even though we're looking at variants and COVID raging around the world, even though we're looking at enemy countries who seek to harm us, even though we're looking at just having a bad day, behind those words is our living Lord standing there, ruling over all things, saying, in me, nothing will separate us. Nothing. That's when these words of life are not hard to hear at all, but wonderful to hear, because they are so incredible, because they seem so outrageous and unbelievable to us, and yet they are 100% true. And that's when the Holy Spirit invites you and me, go ahead, take a bite, drain that cup, and feast on the words and the word of life. Amen.